All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So you have another beautiful, beautiful Gemara today. Today's daf is Lamed Aleph 31. We are actually beginning on daf Lamed Amud Beis. We dedicate our learning today as a zechus of a refuah shalima for Mrs. Chaya Drapkin, Chaya Masya Bastova, who's having serious surgery today. We also dedicate our learning for Daniel Lansky, Rafael Daniel Chaim Ben Shifra Leah, and of course for Kobe Rosemore, Chaim Yaakov David Ben Avigail. We hope, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants a refuah shleima to these cholim as well as kol chole Yisrael. So let's begin. Last line, Lamed Amud Beis, 30b. So remember, we're talking in the sugya of Kibud Avvaim, talking in the sugya of honoring parents. So the Gemara said the following. We left off, last line. Tanya, Rabbi says, Galoiv Yadulif Nemisha Amar Vahaya Olam, Sheben Mechabe Desimo Yosem Avif. So this is actually an amazing Gemara. So everyone knows, the Ribono Shel Olam knows, that a son naturally honors his mother more than his father. Why? Mipneishem Mishadalto Bidvarim, top of Lamadalit. Mishadalto Bidvarim, Rashi says, Mifata Oso Kimitar Yaminon, Vichyefata Arisos, so Ari Yishtal. So because a mother often speaks nicer to her child than a father. In other words, that the mother is often kinder, right? Whereas the father sometimes is the Midas Hadin. So the mother is the Midas Harachamim. So therefore, again, by definition, it's easier for a child to respect his mother than it is his father. Therefore again, lefichach hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibud av lekibudim. Therefore again, the Torah purposely phrases the mitzvah of kabet es avicha ve'es imecha. Therefore, meaning what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, why does the Torah mention father before mother? So the idea over here is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that a person needed an extra push to honor their father, because honoring one's mother comes a bit more naturally, because there's almost sometimes a sweeter relationship that's there. So the Gemara goes weiter. Similarly, Gali Yadul Lefnei Misha Amar V'Haya Olam. Similarly, it was known before he who said, let the world come into being, the Ribono Shel Olam, Shaben Nesiyare Me'aviv Yoser Me'imo. On the other hand, it's clear that a son, by definition, fears his father more than his mother. Why? Now this is actually very interesting. Mepnei Shemalando Torah. So this is quite fascinating. That even though we would have thought the Gemara would have said, because normally it's the father who's the disciplinarian. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, because the father teaches his son Torah. So we'll say, so what does this mean? You understand that Mesiare doesn't mean fear. That's why, again, we've often translated this word as revere. That by definition, a son has a greater reverence for a father than he does for a mother, because it's his father who teaches him Torah, which of course, again, is an incredible Yisrael, tells you about the role, the real role of a father, that I'm supposed to be my children's first Rebbe. I'm supposed to be their teacher, the one who teaches them Torah. So therefore, by definition, a child has a more natural fear or reverence of his father more than his mother. Therefore, lefichach hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mora ha'em lemora ha'av. Therefore, again, the Ribono Shel Olam goes ahead and puts ish imo va'aviv tiro. A man shall revere his mother and his father. Torah mentions mother before father. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. Bizman sha'adam mitzayer es aviv es imo. When a person literally gives pain to his mother and to his father. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's obviously not talking about physical pain, it's talking about emotional pain. The time that a child mistreats a parent. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon Sholom says, Yafa Asisi, Baruch Hashem, Shelo Darti Beimehem, that I chose not to dwell among them. Shelo Moli Darti Beimehem, because had I been living among them, Tsi Aruni, they would have afflicted me as well. So this goes back to the motif that we established yesterday about the Shlosha Shutvin Ba'adam, the three partners that exist with man. There is this incredibly tight relationship between the Ribono Shel Olam and my parents, the three partners in my creation. Therefore, if I mistreat my parents, it's kibyachal as if I'm mistreating the Ribono Shel Olam. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kala over avera b'seser, that's another profound Gemara. Whoever goes ahead and commits an Avera, violates an Avera in private, in secret, it's as if he's pushing away the feet of the Shechina. Shene Emar, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashamayim Kis'i, Va'aretz Hadom Ragli. Because this, so said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavens are my throne, the earth or the place where it might be. So we'll say the idea over here in this particular situation, look at Rashi. He says, Va'aretz Adon Ragli, second line, Va'over B'Seser Omer Eina Makum Kan, Lefichach Hu Nistar Lomer Ein Yodea, Nimtzer Kedochek Raglav, Omakasar Lomer Ein Kan. So what's the idea? If a person violates an Avera in private, so what are they essentially saying? They're essentially making it seem as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot see them where they are. Where they are. Therefore, again, a person like that is like pushing the feet of the Shekhinah off the earth. As if to say, the Ribono Shel Olam's reach does not extend here. God can't see me here. God can't observe me here. And therefore, I could do what I want. I'm going to be Shem and Levi. Asr la'adam shi'ahalich arba amos b'komas akufa. So Shem and Levi says, a person should not go ahead and walk dalet amos b'komas akufa rabos. It means like with an erect posture. The idea is that a person should not walk with an arrogant posture, but rather a person is always supposed to assume a little bit of a humbled posture. Shene emar, milo kala aretz kivodo. Actually, why is that? I will say, because again, by walking with a little bit of a humbled posture, a person recognizes that the Ribono Shel Olam is above them. That the Ribono Shel Olam, again, his presence is here, his presence is being felt. So based on this, Rav Huna Bri Dar Yoshua, Lamaski Arba Amos Begiloi Harosh. So we'll say this is the makar for a very important halacha that we have. Therefore, Rav Huna Bri Dar Yoshua would never walk Dalet Amos, would never walk 4 Amos, ultimately, again, with an uncovered head. Because he would say, Amar, Shechina lemala miroshi. Because he would say, the Shechina is above me. So because the Shechina is above me, by definition, how do I demonstrate that the Shechina is above me? By constantly keeping my head covered. So we'll say, this is the concept of a yarmulke. This is the concept of a head covering. The idea is we cover our heads as a way of showing that we recognize that the Shechina is above me at all times. So the Gemara goes weiter. Sha'al ben almana achas es Rabbi Eliezer. So listen to this interesting case. So there was a ben almana. There was a son of a widow, meaning his father passed away, who asked Rabbi Eliezer the following question. Akibar avaim shayla. Abba omer hashkini mayim. If my father tells me, give me a drink. V'ima omeres hashkini mayim, and my mother asks me to give her a drink. Eza mehem kodem. Who should I listen to? Both said this happens to be, in general, a fascinating shayla of kibud avvaim. Right? My father asks me to do something. My mother asks me to do something. Who should I listen to? So the Gemara says, Amrlei, he responded, Hanach kavod imcha. So you should listen to, leave aside the request of your mother, fulfill the request of your father, because both you and your mother are both obligated to respect your father. In other words, the idea is that the Gemara is saying that the wife has an obligation to respect her husband as well. Therefore, again, both you and your mother have an obligation to respect your father. And therefore, again, you should fulfill your father's request first. I will say it's actually interesting that, again, this is all assuming that the father wants this particular situation. Meaning, let's say a father says to his child, I'd rather you go ahead and take care of your mother's needs first. So, of course, the child is permitted to listen to that. But in the absence of that, if both father and mother are asking for something, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the child should honor the father's request before the mother's request. This, by the way, we'll see other cases, the more interesting kibud avaim shailas come up when father and mother are asking the child two opposite things. That comes a little bit stickier, where a child is often in the middle, sometimes of a maternal and a paternal request that often share one another, who you listen to in that situation, but we'll touch on that as well. Balafni Rabbi Yoshua. So he came before Rabbi Yoshua, this boy who didn't have a father. Balafni Rabbi Yoshua, Amar lo, Kach Amar lo Rebbe, Niskar Shamahu. So listen to this. So I'll say, now first, just to follow the story, this Ben Almana came to ask Rabbi Eliezer. And he asked Rabbi Eliezer again, the Kasha, ultimately, if my parents are both asking me something, who should I listen to? So he passed him, listen to your father. Next, Balakni Rabbi Yoshua. Then the same boy came before Rabbi Yoshua. Amar lo, Kach Amar lo Rebbe. So this is what Rebbe mentioned to me, meaning he told him over the ruling that he received. But then he asked, Niskar Shamahu, what happens if my parents get divorced? See, the previous answer was predicated on the idea that a wife has an obligation to honor her husband as well. So what happens if the parents get divorced? So in this case, remember, now at this point in time, so the mother no longer has an obligation to honor the father, because they're not married anymore. So in this case, if my mother asks, if my father asks something, who should I listen to first? So I said, listen to this. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yeshua said to the boy, Mibein risei einayich nikar sheben amona ata. So it's actually a very moving Gemara. So Rabbi Yeshua says, from your eyelashes, it appears to be clear to me that you don't have a father. In other words, that this boy must have cried a lot, and as a result, his eyelashes fell out. So he says, I see that you're not asking me a lemaisa shaila, and I see at the end of the day, you're just going ahead, and you're just asking me this question. So I will tell you the following. Hata lahem mayim b'safal, v'kaka lahem kitarnagolim. So literally what you can do in that case is where your father asks you for water, your mother asks you for water, put it in the trough and call out to them like roosters. So that was another way of saying that essentially you could honor whoever you want. In other words, first of all, he was saying to the boy, this was not, he wasn't being disparaging of the boy. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, he says, sheben amona ato. He says, "V'lo tzarech ata l'maisa." You don't need to ask this question. Alach l'maisa, ela lilmod basa. Rather, you just came to learn. Va'ani omer lecha shekavod shnehem shava alecha. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. The obligation to honor both of them is upon you equally. And therefore, atel lahem mayim b'safa v'kakea. Put for them water in the trough and literally crow out. Karker lahem kimoshe mekarkin l'tarnagolim. So therefore, I will say, so this actually is also halacha lemaisa, which is quite amazing, which is that, again, in a situation like this, where lemaisa, parents are divorced, so a child has an obligation, obviously, to mechabed his father and his mother. If they both ask him something, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, it's up to the child to decide who he wants to be mechabed first. If he wants to listen to the mother first, to the father first, that's up to him. When the parents are married, so the obligation is to go ahead and first honor the father. When the parents are not married, the child has the right to decide whose request to honor first. So the Gemara goes right there. Darash Ula Rabba Apischa de Benesio. So Ula Rabba darshan the following idea at the entranceway of the Nasi's house. My dichsiv. Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz ki shamru imei picha. So what does it mean when the pasuk says, God, Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz, literally all the kings of the land will recognize you because they have heard the sayings of your mouth, imrei picha. So the Gemara says, ma'amar picha lo ne'amar, doesn't say the statements of your mouth, ela imrei picha, the words of your mouth, or the statements of your mouth. B'sha'a, so what does this pasuk mean? B'sha'a shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anochi v'lo yelecha. So also when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the first two dibros of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, and v'lo yelecha Elohim Acherim Alpana, you can't have any other gods. Amru umos ha'olam l'chavot atzma hu dorish. Oh, you see this God is arrogant, because all he wants is for people to serve him, and this is all about him. Kevan sha'amar kabed es avicha v'asimecha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, honor your father and mother. Chazru v'hodu l'ma'amaros harishonos. So even the Malchei Olam, even the kings, the Gentile kings, recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the ultimate God. Why? Because it will say, only a true God would command you to go ahead and give honor to others besides himself. So when he says Anochi, and lo yelecha, so people, the Gentile kings said, oh, he's a self-serving God. When he says, honor your parents, so ultimately, that's when Yodu Hashem kol Malchei Eretz ki shamru imrei picha. Rava armehacha, Rava said from here, Rosh tevarcha emes, the beginning of your words is truth. So what we can interpret from there, does that only mean the beginning of his words and not the end of his words? Ella misov tevarcha nikar shirosh tevarcha emes. Rather, from the end of the words, you could see that the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words emes. We'll say, what does that mean? That's another reference to the same idea that we just expressed. That from the end of his words, namely, kabires avicha ve'esimecha, I see that what? I see that the beginning of his words, of Anochi Hashem and lo yelecha, are truthful as well. In other words, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is the notion that the Ribono Shel Olam asks you to give cover to people other than him attests to the truthfulness of the Ribono Shel Olam. Because if someone or something was just simply egocentric and interested in kavod, you would never what? You would never ask, therefore, your followers to go ahead and give kavod to someone or something else. The fact that the Ribono Shel Olam put a mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha attests to the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam. Bo'o Minei Mirav. Rabula, excuse me. The answer of Rabula. Adhechon kibot avvaim. Supposed to say, so this is an interesting shaila, and this again is a fascinating hashkafic and halachic question, which is, to what extent must one go in order to honor one's parents? Amar lahem, so he responded, Tzu'uru, I will say famous maysa, Tzu'uru ma'asa obeit kochavim echad ba'ashkelon. See what one Gentile, it's interesting, I will say, that the Gemara brings the paradigmatic case of kibbutz avaim, not from a Jew. The paradigmatic case of kibbutz avaim comes from a Gentile, by the name of Dama ben Nesina. His name was Dama ben Nesina. What happened to Dama ben Nesina? Pam achas bikshu chacham prakmati v'shishim revo schar. So listen to this. One time, the rabbis came to Dama ben Nesina, and they wanted to engage in some type of business deal with him. And they were offering him a ridiculous amount of money. So Rabbi says, Shishim Revo is literally like 600,000 gold pieces. So whether or not that's a literal statement, most probably a little bit of hyperbole, the point is, they were offering him the deal of a lifetime, a business of a lifetime. So what happens? They wanted to buy some type of precious item from him. But what happened? But the key to the safe was underneath his father's pillow, and his father was sleeping. And what happened? Dama ben Nesina refused to wake up his father in order to go ahead and sell the merchandise and make the deal. So that's the paradigmatic case of kibbutz avaim. He wouldn't wake up his father, even though, again, it was a huge potential financial benefit. So the Gemara says, Shalus Rabbi Eliezer. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, at hechon kibbutz avaim, to what point, ultimately, again, up to what extent is one obligated in kibbutz avaim? Amr lahem tsu'uru ru'u ma'asa obid kochavim echa la'avim ba'ashkelon v'dama ben nesina shmo. We'll say another example. So they asked again, to what extent is kibbutz avaim? Now remember, that was to Rav Ula. Now they asked Rabbi Eliezer, how far do you have to go for kibbutz avaim? And again, Rabbi Eliezer quotes a maisa, another maisa, from Dama ben Nesina. What happened? Bikshu mimenu chachamim avanim la'efod. Suppose that these three times the Beis HaMikdash. Dama ben Nesina had precious stones. They came to purchase stones for the ephod. The ephod is the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So they came to purchase stones for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol from Dama ben Nesina. And what happens? Again, for a ridiculous amount of money. So he says, b'shishin revo. Some say for 600,000 gold pieces. V'rav kahana masni b'shmona revo. Others say 800,000 gold pieces. V'ayim afteach munach tachas mirashosav shal aviv. And again, the key to the safe was underneath the head of Dama ben Nesina's father, and Dama ben Nesina would not wake him. So we'll say, what happened the next year? So we'll say, the next year, Dama ben Nesina had an incredible reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the reward? There was a para aduma, right? A red heifer, born into his flock. What happened? The rabbis came to him to obviously purchase the paraduma. Nechnesu chachmei Yisrael etzlo. So what happens? The chachmei Yisrael came, and they came to him. Amar lahem yodea ani bochem, shimani mevakesh mekem komamon sheba olam atem nosnim li. Saddam ben Asina said, I know, I can ask you for whatever I want, any amount of money in the world for this paraduma. And you know what, you Jews? You'll pay for it, right? Because again, you need this para aduma. Ela ein ani mevakish mikem ela osom mamon shev sarati b'shvil kavod abba. But he says, I will not ask you for anything except for the money that I lost through honoring my father. So I'll say, so just amazing, Chaim Shmuel Levitz points out, Chaim Shmuel Levitz talks about Nesichos Musar. He says, here's the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. That Dama ben Nesina, as great as he was, he looked at the act of honoring his father as a loss. If you look at his lashon, he says, I'm only going to ask you for what I lost through honoring my father. And Dama ben Nesina, you were so great. Again, it's an incredible, incredible kibbutz avaim, but you didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything. Through that incredible kibbutz avaim, you gained so much, both in Olam Hazeh as well as in Olam Haba. But again, the part of his mitzvah that was deficient was how he viewed it. He viewed it as a loss. So now all I want is what's necessary to make me whole from us. We'll say it's an incredible yisod in general, how we view mitzvos. You know, sometimes when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that service requires of us a sacrifice, we say, okay, I'm willing to take the loss from my Yiddishkeit. Loss. Such a tzaddik. I'm willing to take the loss. Loss. We'll say what we gain from a mitzvah. You know, it's the famous ma'isa. A man once came to Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcher, just very quickly. A man came to Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcher, and he said, Rabbi, the Torah is false. Torah is false. So let's say, remember, the greatness of Rabbi Yitzchak is that even when somebody said to him something so horribly preposterous and wrong, Rabbi still loved him. Rabbi had incredible avas Yisra. He said, no, tell me why you say that. He said, well, the pasuk says, V'ayayim shama tishma mitzvosai. If you will listen to my mitzvos, and the Torah says, I'll reward you with, Kosh Baruch says, I'll reward you with incredible material wealth. So, and the guy said, look, I'm ridiculously wealthy, and I don't keep one mitzvah. I don't keep one mitzvah. Not only that, I disparage the mitzvahs. Not only that, I trample the mitzvahs. So you see, the Torah is false. So the Rebbe said to him, my dear Jew, the fact that you could ask that question means that you've read Kriyat Shema at least one time in your life. And there's not enough money in the world to pay you for that one mitzvah. So Rebbe said, what often we look at as a quote-unquote loss for our Yiddishkeit are the greatest gains, the greatest profits we make in life. Dama ben Nisino was great. But here's where the greatness of a Gentile ends and the greatness of a Jew begins. Because although Dama ben Nisino was able to do an incredible mitzvah, the hashkafas ha-mitzvah was lost on him. Hifsarati, I lost a lot. Also, we have to work on ourselves to recognize that even when mitzvahs require a sacrifice, which they often do, it's not a sacrifice. What we gain, always outweighs what we have to sacrifice. The Gemara goes weiter. Interestingly enough, a Gentile is not obligated in Kibbud Ava'im. Now, I want to be clear. What this means is, Kibbud Ava'im, honoring your parents, is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So again, there's a general Mitzvah B'nei Noach of maintaining an orderly society. A part of maintaining an orderly society is going ahead and honoring your parents. But if a Gentile who doesn't have an explicit Mitzvah of Kibbud Ava'im, if he's able to do this, if what we call the Einu Mitzvah Va'osa, someone who is not commanded and still does it, Kach Mitzvah Va'osa Achaz Kan Kama. So we'll say, if this is what Tam Ben Asina does, and he doesn't have a Mitzvah of Kibbud Ava'im Achaz Kan Kama, then of course it tells you what our obligation is. The Amar Rabbi Chanina, Godo Mitzvah Va'osa, Mishenu Mitzvah Va'osa, what's the incredible Yisod? So Rabbi Chanina said that Godo Mitzvah Va'osa, both say somebody who is commanded to do a mitzvah and does it has greater reward than someone who is not commanded and does it. So we'll say, so often we think the opposite. We often think that if I'm not commanded to do something and I do it, I get more reward than someone who's commanded to do it, because someone who's commanded is commanded. It's not true. Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi says, why? Because, you know, here's the amazing part. I'll give you a simple mashal. So it's amazing to see that what happens, you know, I think of this mashal. Remember when there was Hurricane Sandy, we went to Seagate. You know, so it was amazing to see, Baruch Hashem, all the people that signed up to go and clean out other people's basements. Right? But yet, again, when your wife asks you to clean out the basement, so what do you say? Ugh, come on. So it's amazing. So what's the chilik between Seagate and Baltimore? Seagate, chesed. Right? My basement, that's a task, right? That's something I have to do. I'll say, that's the chav. You know, when you don't have an obligation to do something and you do it, you feel like you're doing something selfless. It's a great feeling to do something selfless. When you have to do it, that's not selfless. That's a job. That's a task. But yet we know, Godo mitzuva va'osa, mimisha eno mitzuva va'osa. In fact, Rav Osai, it's a greater accomplishment to do something you're commanded to do than to do something that you're not commanded to do. Why? Because when you have an obligation to do it, that's where the Yetzer Hara tries to undermine your efforts. That's the Yitzhara fights against you. Yitzhara doesn't really fight against you to do chesed. Yitzhara fights against you. That's why Tzimtzum Rebbe says, if you notice again, people rarely encounter Yitzhara when doing something selfless. We encounter Yitzhara when it comes to our obligations. That's when Yitzhara kicks in. So to be able to go ahead and do something that I'm obligated to do with the same sense of passion of something that I'm not obligated to do, that's the pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment. Based on this, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, from the beginning, I used to say, Rav Yosef was blind. So he said, in the beginning, I used to say that whoever would tell me that the halacha follows the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a suma, a blind person, is pater from mitzvos. Rav Yosef did the mitzvos. So he used to say, whoever would tell me that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, I'll make a big kiddush for them. Why? Because for me, I wanted Allah to be like Rabbi Yehuda, that a sumah, that a blind person is potter from mitzvos, because then I felt that what? If I do the mitzvos, I get even greater schar, because I'm exempt and I'm still doing. However, However, dahalom if I can't love Abid, no, because I'm not obligated yet, I do it. Hashad the Shamile, Rabbi Chanina Gadol, and so we also mean Shanim and Subimosa. But now that I heard Rabbi Chanina's statement that someone who is commanded to do a mitzvah has even greater schar than someone who is not commanded to do a mitzvah, Adarabba, man d'armali ain't alacha krabi huda, Abid no yomotav la rabbanon. Just the opposite, whoever tells you that the alacha is not like Rabbi Huda. In other words, that now I want to be obligated in mitzvahs. So everyone tells me that alacha is like Rabbi Huda, that as soon as chayiv mitzvahs, I'll make a kiddush for them as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Pamachas. So we'll say the Gemara is still with Tama Ben Sina. So, I'm sorry. So fine. Ki aser avdini amar. Pamachas haya lavush sirikon. Sirkon shalzav. One time Tama Ben Sina was wearing a beautiful golden robe. Sirkon also literally means like mail. He was wearing golden mail. V'haya yoshi ben gedovi romi. And he was sitting among the noblemen of Rome. His mother came along and tore it off him. She slapped him on the head. She spit in his face. So his mother obviously wasn't a stable person, and yet Tama ben Nesina did not embarrass her. Well, let's say another. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is up until now, what we've been speaking about is a manifestation of kibud av va'em. Of, let's say, actively respecting my parents by not disturbing what it is that they're doing. Here we're talking about restraint in the face of parental disrespect. So in this case over here, his mother's disrespecting him, he doesn't say anything. Listen to this. There are some people who feed, you could feed your father pisione. Pisione, Rashi says, is of chashuv. A very chashuv food, right? A delicacy. You know, you could both say you could go ahead and feed your father delicacies, but you're just going to go to Gehenna. Tardu mina olam. Rashi says shene'enesh alav shemar lo tzaras ayin shasu daso. So we'll say, so a person can feed his father delicacies and not get any schar, literally lose all of his schar. V'yesh matchino berechayim. And there are other people who could put their father to work in the mill. And ultimately brings him to Olam Haba, brings him to the world to come. So what does this mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Listen to what Rashi says over the Yushami. Third line in and the top Rashi. He says, Garas ma'aseh b'shtem. Ma'aseh b'echar shayim ma'achil l'aviv pisyone. So we'll say, the Gemara tells story, Yushami tells story about one time a son was giving his father to eat pisyone, this delicacy. Amar lo aviv, me'ayin l'cha kol eila. So the father was amazed. He said, my son, how do you have so much money to feed me pisyone? Amar lo saba, ma'echpas l'cha. He said, old man, what does it matter to you? Just eat. Just eat. So we'll say, so this is an example. So we'll say, in this case, the son was providing his father with delicacies, but he made his father feel like a shmat, he made his father feel terrible. So in this case, the Gemara says, so we'll say, it's not simply taking care of the needs of your parents. If you put down your parents, if you degrade your parents, you give them the one most wonderful delicacies, but ultimately, again, you get no schar for that act. On the other hand, Meshuv Masev. The Gemara tells another story. This is Yerushalmi. So there was another person who used to work in the mill, and he had an elderly father. And the king tried to conscript the father, the elderly father, into his service. So the son said, father, you take my place in the mill, and I'll take your place in the king's service. So there you see, Avos, it was an example of a son who technically put his father to work in the mill, but yet, again, that was a great kibbut avvaim, because he tried to whatever degree to minimize the exertion on his father. So we'll say it's an incredible yisod in honoring parents. It's not just simply what you do, it's very important, equally as important is how you do it. You can give your parents the most wonderful delicacies. On a financial level, you can provide them with everything, but if you put them down, if you degrade them, if you make them feel less than important, then what are you accomplishing? On the other hand, sometimes a child can give very little, but if the child's able to put the parent on a pedestal, that is an incredible manifestation of kibbud av va'em. I'm Rabbi Avo. We'll say second line, Lamed Aleph on days. Kigon Avimi. Listen to this. Listen to how beautiful this is. Rabbi Avo said, I want to tell you an example of kibbud av va'em. Kigon Avimi Biri, like Avimi, my son. Kiyem mitzvos kibud. My son knows how to honor me. He says, why? Listen to how beautiful. This is a father talking about his son. Chamisha b'ni samchi havale. Because my son Avimi has five sons, literally with smicha. He has five sons who are adults. Talidi chachamim. Rabbi Avo would come to the home of his son Avimi. So Kari Ababa, he would knock on the door. Roit va'azil upasach le. It would be Avimi himself, the son. Rabbi said, even though Avimi had adult children, Avimi himself would run to the door to answer the door for his father. Amarle in. He would say, yes, I'm coming. Adematoy. He would run himself to go and be mechabed his father. So the Gemara says, Yomachad, listen to this. So one day, Amarle Ashkion Maya. So one day, Rabbi Avo asked his son for a little bit of water. So Avimi, of course, comes with a pitcher of water to give his father water. Ad the Isile Namnim. So what happens? As Avimi was bringing the water, so Rabbi Avo dozed. He fell asleep. Gochin Koi Ale Ad Iter. Literally, again, Avimi stood there with the pitcher, standing over his father until his father awoke. Istaya Milsa. So we'll say in the Zuchus, ultimately again of Avimi, fulfilling such careful kibbutz, I've been waiting for his father to wake up to pour him water. So he had an incredible siyata d'shmaya, v'darash Avimi, mizma li'asav. In that moment, what happened? In that moment, Avimi was given divine insight into the capital of Tehillim Mizmor L'Asaf. So also Rashi points out, the Gemara discusses this Mizmor L'Asaf. This is Mizmor L'Asaf, Ba'u Goyim Menachal Asecha. So this is the capital that speaks about the Gentile nations walking into the Beis HaMikdash and destroying it. So the Gemara says, Mizmor L'Asaf, Kino L'Asaf Yivali. Why do you say a song of Asaf? This is a lamentation, this is a dirge. So remember again, this is the famous capital, it's the famous Rashi of Avimi, where Avimi said, because we say Mizmar, because Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, chose to vent his fury on sticks and stones. As beautiful as the Beis HaMikdash is, it's a building. Buildings could always be rebuilt, but he could have vented that fury on Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael could have been destroyed. So it's a Mizmar. That insight into this capital came as a result of his kibbutz av. Which also is another incredible yisod, that sometimes the greatest insights we have in our own spirituality is when we're engaged in selfless service of the other. He has this insight into this capital when he's mamish waiting to pour his father water. Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Avua l'Abaye. So Rav Yaakov bar Avua said to Abaye, Kigon ano. So an example of kibbutz av ve'im is like me. Listen to this. Because when I come back from yeshiva, when I come back from yeshiva, Abba madli li kasa, my father pours me a cup, v'ima mazgali, my father pours me a cup of wine and my mother dilutes it. Hechi I avid. So what should I do? See, Rosh, it is an interesting shaila. In this case over here, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Avua is saying that I come home from yeshiva and my parents want to be mechaved me. Right? My father wants to pour me the wine, my mother wants to dilute for me the wine. So what should I do? Should I accept this? Or is my acceptance of their service a lack of kibbutz av ve'im on my part? So listen to this. Amarle, he said to him, Me'imcha kabel. You should accept it from your mother. Me'avucha los kabel. Don't accept it from your father. Why? Dechevan debar Torah, because your father is a great Talmud Chacham. Chol shadayte. This is actually quite interesting, because your father is a great Talmud Chacham at some point in time may regret having done this, perhaps feeling that perhaps his serving you is a lack of proper Kavanah Torah, meaning a lack to his own Kavanah Torah. So a mother, by definition, always wants to serve her child. So the greatest nachas, the greatest kavod you could give your mother is allowing her to give you something. Father, on the other hand, you have to be careful. Because he's a great Talmud Chacham, it could be that at some point in time he may have second thoughts of whether he acted appropriately in deference to his own Kavanah Torah. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon is amazing. Rabbi Tarfon, these stories are amazing. Rabbi Tarfon Havaleahi Ima. Rabbi Tarfon had a mother. Dechol Imas Tahava Boi Lemesak Lepuria Gachin Vesalcha. So Rabbi Tarfon had a mother who, again, was apparently very elderly, and she needed help getting into bed. So what happens? Every single time she would get into bed, he would bend down and she would climb on his back in order to get into bed. V'chol emas tahav enachis. So whenever she would come out of bed, nachtas eluya. He would bend over. He would bow over, and she would climb on his back to get out of bed. Asa v'kamishtabech be'midrasha. So I will say, so Rabbi Tarfon was proud about the way that he honored his mother, and he would come and he would tell about it in the Beis Medrash. Amrle, they said to him, Adayin lo higata lechatzi kibud. That's nothing. That's nothing. You haven't even gotten halfway to what real kibbutz Avva Aim is. Why? Well, it is amazing. Why? Klum zarka arniki befanecha liyam velo echlimta. Did she ever throw your wallet into the ocean and you didn't say anything? It was like, this is an incredible yisod. What they were saying in the base medrash was the following. So the greatest manifestation of kibbutz Avva Aim is restraint. This is fascinating. Meaning, to go in and give something to my parents, we'll say, to give to my parents, that's natural and obvious. Why? Why? It's just almost as if they gave me. That's a simple din l'hakaras hatov. If you're not an ingrate, then by definition, you want to repay the good that people gave to you. So my parents woke up with me. My parents changed my diapers. My parents fed me. Parents gave me a home. They gave me food. They paid my tuition. They did all of these things for me. So of course, I'm going to reciprocate. What's the question on that? The greatest manifestation of kibbutz Avva Aim is restraint. When my parent does something to me that's hurtful, when my parent does something to me that may just be off the charts, so again, I don't have to put myself in harm's way, as we'll discuss, but when they do that, do I hold my tongue or do I lash out? So they said to Rabbi Tarfon, great that you're allowing her to climb on your back. That's incredible. But tell me, did she ever do something to you that got you upset and you exhibited restraint? That's real kibbutz Avva Aim. Rav Yosef, ki avashama kol kari dimei. When Rav Yosef would hear the footsteps of his mother, Amar, he would say, it's such a beautiful Gemara, Amar, ikum mikamei shchina. He would say, let me get up in front of the shchina. In other words, the footsteps of his mother were reminiscent to him of the footsteps of the shchina. Again, I will say this goes before to what we learned before about the shlosha shutrin, the synergistic partnership between my parents and the Ribbono shel Olam. Amar Rav Yochanan, so I will say, this is amazing. Rav Yochanan says, Ashrei mi shelo chaman. Praiseworthy is the person who never saw his parents. So we'll say, what does this mean? Rabbi Yochanan ki ibarto imo meis abed. Rabbi Yochanan, just so you understand the background to this statement, when Rabbi Yochanan's mother became pregnant, his father died. Yeladato meis imo. When his mother gave birth, she died in childbirth. He never met his parents. Vechina abaye. So to abaye, same thing, never met his parents. Imi, is that true? Vamra abaye, amrali imbi. Yet abaye is on record as saying, my mother once told me, hahi marbinise. That was a nurse. He was raised by a woman whom he called mother, but that was not his mother. So we'll say, so what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, what does it mean, praiseworthy is the person who never saw his parents? What Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, Rabosai, it is virtually impossible not to transgress kibbutz Avva Aim. Inevitably, at some point over the course of life, a person does not respect his parents appropriately. We'll say for a variety of reasons. Sometimes parents are not good parents. But you see, by the way, that not being a good parent, is not a license for a child not to be mechabed them. It's a very important yisod. Even if a parent is not a great parent, I still have an obligation honoring them. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, to a certain degree, if you never met your parents, to a certain degree, one could say on a halachic level, you may even be better off, because again, it's virtually impossible not to transgress kibbutz Avva Aim. Gemara goes weiter. Rav Asi, havli ahu im zekena. So we'll say, this is an amazing Gemara. Rav Asi had an elderly mother. So apparently Rav Asi's father had already died. So his mother said to Rav Asi, I want jewelry. Avadla, he got her jewelry. But in a gavra, she said, I want to get married. Find me a shidduch. Right? I want to get married. You can see, this is not an easy woman. I want to get married. Na'ayin lecha, fine, I'll try to find the shidduch for you. Ba'ina gavra de shapir kavasach. She said to her son, I want a man as handsome as you. There was at this point in time, Shafka va'azala arad Yisrael. So Rav Asi left, this was in Babel, he left and he went to Arad Yisrael. The boss said he left because he felt he could not handle his mother. Now, there's a whole discussion over here, by the way. This Gemara has incredible contemporary importance. Tosfos points out, he left after making sure that his mother's needs were taken care of. So we'll say, this over here, this Gemara serves as an incredible makar for sometimes when elderly parents become too difficult to deal with. And the child realizes that if I am the primary caregiver, I will not be able to mechabed my parent in the right way. So from here, Tosfos and others bring down that this is the makar for sometimes where a child has to delegate responsibilities to someone or some other entity, that there is a halachic license to do so. Meaning, I'm only supposed to take care of my parents if I feel I could do so and still maintain proper kibbut avim. This is very important because here's my simchal yom. The children take on the responsibility for caring for a parent, but they're treating the parent terribly because they're frustrated, because they're upset, because they're overwhelmed. That is not a good idea. The halacha says if you can't do it, it's okay. Meaning sometimes a child can't do it for a variety of different reasons. You are permitted to give over the care of the parent to another person or another party, assuming the parent's needs are met. That's what's happening over here. Rav Asi says, I can't do this anymore. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. Shama de ka'azla basrei. So what happens? He's in Eretz Yisrael, and he hears that his mother is following him to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi, can I leave? Can I go? Now again, remember, it's not so posha to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. Can I go to Chutz La'aretz? And my mother's coming after me. If she's coming, I want to go and meet her and bring her the rest of the way. Amar Asher. He says, no, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Likras ima mahu, but Rabbi, I'm not just going to leave Eretz Yisrael. What about to go and greet my mother? Is that permitted? Amarle, ani yodea. He says, I don't know. Israch porta, so he waited a little bit. Hada asar amarle, asi nistarat talotseis. So again, so Rav Asi waited a little bit, and he asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan again. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Rav Asi, asi nitstaris nisratsisa lotseis. You want to leave Eretz Yisrael. Hamakum yachzircha l'shalom. Chodesh Baruch Hu should bring you back in shalom. Asa lekamed Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Asi went to Rabbi Eliezer, and he said, Rabbi, so he said, Amarle, chas v'shalom dilma mirsach rasach. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Asi asked the question to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Seischam v'shalom bochum v'shalom. Moshalom should bring you back in peace. Rav Asi said, Rabbi Eliezer, do you think that Rabbi Yochanan is upset at me for asking the Shaila? Amarle, my Amarlecha, what did he say to you? Amarle, amokum yachzir chum v'shalom. He said, the Chodesh Baruch Hu should bring you back in peace. If he was upset at you, he would have never given you a bracha. So therefore, Rav Asi leaves Eretz Yisrael to go and to greet his mother. So we'll say, as Rav Asi left Eretz Yisrael, he heard that what? That his mother passed away, and her aron, her casket, was being brought to Eretz Yisrael for burial. Amar and Rav Asi said, I yodi, had I known that she had already passed away, lo nafki, I would not have left Eretz Yisrael. So you have to honor your father in life. When I say your father, you have to honor your parents in life, and you have to honor them in death. How so? So we'll say, my father's lifetime, how do I honor him? Hanishma bidavar aviv lamakom. Lo yomar shalchuni b'shil atzmi, maharuni b'shil atzmi, patruni b'shil atzmi, elakulu b'shil abba. So we'll say, if I'm in a place where people know my father, then if I ask for something, I shouldn't ask for it in my own merit. Rather what? I should ask for it in the merit of my father. Send me on my way in the merit of my father. Take care of my needs in the merit of my father. Exempt me in the merit of my father. So if my father is known, I should use his zuchus instead of my own. Bimoso, how do I honor my father in death? Ketzad, hayo omer davar shmo mipiv. If a person was saying something over in his father's name, lo yomar kach amar abba, a person shouldn't simply say, this is what my father said. Rather, elakach amar abba mori, harini kaparas mishkavo. Rather, I will say, if a person is saying something over in his father's name and his father already passed away, a person should say, I'm saying this over the name of my father and my teacher, may I be an atonement for his deathbed. In other words, that the son is saying that let me be an atonement for his father. So the Gemara says, v'hani mili toch shtemasar chodesh. We'll say, and this indeed is halacha lemaisa. Whenever I quote my father, I mention my father during the first year after his passing, the statement that is said is, my father, harini kaparas mishkavo. May I be the atonement for anything that he may have done and allow him to have a Gan Eden. That's only in the first year. However, mikan ve'elech, after the first year, Omer, zichrono livracha l'chayi ha'olam haba. Rabbi say, after the first year, I say zichrono livracha, may his memory be for a blessing. So Rashi says over here, why is that? Because look at Rashi. Ani kaparas mishkavo, alai yavo kol ha'ra, ha'ra'i laval nafsho. Whatever punishment my father may have incurred, let those punishments devolve upon me. However, mikan ve'ilech, kvar kibel masha kibel, shein mishpat rishe yisrael b'gehenem, elu yud beis chodesh. So we'll say it's amazing Gemara. So Gemara says, for the first year after our father's passing, whenever a child mentions his father's name, he always says the phrase, harini kaparas mishkavo. Avo. May I be an atonement for his death. Out of a concern that perhaps my father is suffering because of some misdeeds he may have transgressed, therefore I'm saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please visit the punishments upon me. However, after the first year, again, remember, even Rishayim only stay in Gehenna for 12 months. I don't have to say the phrase of Harini Kaparas Mishkavo. Instead, I say what? I say Zichrono Livracha Lechaya Olam Abba. So the Gemara therefore teaches me that what? I have to mechabed my father both during his lifetime as well as in his death. Rabbi Yosef will stop over here. We'll be Mirat Hashem pick up with Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow. So I'm not seeing it. So, I mean, it seems to be.